Everybody, it's good to see you. And as Steph said, we're going to be looking at part of Galatians chapter 5. So if you could have the passage open in front of you, that would be great, either in a Bible or on the screen. And I'll read it in a few moments. Just a few words of introduction, though, before we look at the passage. I think we those of you who are regular here, it's great if you're new here or if you haven't been with us for a while. And if so, we're coming towards the end of a series going through Paul's letter to the Galatians. But if you're regular, you'll know that Paul in this letter finds different ways to communicate, to explain, to develop the one essential message of the gospel. Jesus has set us free, and we need to stand in that freedom. We need to not look back on false and inadequate ways to relate to God. And those of you who are on the church email, hopefully you saw the little video that I sent earlier in the week, when I just gave some pointers about this passage, some of the main themes, and I'll just mention those briefly, but I would encourage you to go and look at the video as well. The first theme, the most obvious theme in this passage, is around freedom from slavery. And the key question I think we're going to be looking at today is what does true freedom look like in practice? And how do we tell true freedom from sort of counterfeit freedoms that don't really deliver and are actually just forms of slavery? Secondly, and perhaps a little bit harder to understand, this passage will talk about circumcision, which was a Jewish custom, a way of identifying Jewish people. And a big question in the early church is, should non-Jewish Christians be circumcised? Was Christianity, in a sense, a form of Judaism? And Paul was very worried that if this became something that was widely practiced, then Christ's grace, the teachings of the gospel, the true freedom that we find in Christ would be edged out. We would become legalistic rather than faith-relying people. So he stood out for the principle that Christians should not have to be circumcised, just really as an example of ways in which we can do things to try and please God rather than relying on his free grace. Thirdly, Paul talks about the offense, the scandal of the cross. False teachers were coming into Galatia and they were bringing a very smooth sounding message, a very inoffensive message. They were like yeast, he says in the passage, which has a disproportionate influence. And he says the offense of the cross mustn't be abolished. And then finally, a couple of times in these verses, he talks about how important faith and love are. The gospel changes our attitudes, and faith and love are what matters and really show us whether we are really free. And I'd like us to encourage you this morning to keep on asking yourself the question as I talk, as we read the passage: if that was God's message to Galatian Christians then, what is his message to Haywards Heath Christians now? And that's the real challenge as we read this book of Galatians, which is not the most straightforward book, to keep on asking if that was God's question then, what's his message to us now? And to help us do this morning, I'm going to take, I hope it's going to be helpful, a slightly different approach. Well, actually, a very different approach. If this is your first time this morning, don't judge us on this morning, because it's going to be slightly, you might think it's slightly strange, but I'm trying to encourage us to think differently. We're going to hear from an imaginary pastor, Pastor Dwight, who comes from another part of the world. And I'm not doing this to look down on people from that part of the world, but to help us to keep on opening ourselves up to that searching question: if that's God's message for them, what's the message for me? If other people could misread God in that way, how can I be sure that I don't misread him? How can I make sure I keep prioritizing the gospel? And just to really warn you, not everything you're going to hear this morning from Pastor Dwight is true, even though it might be cloaked in the garments of truth. In fact, a lot of what he's going to say isn't true. And I want us to be looking out for how it conflicts with the true gospel. How does looking at Jesus and his cross help us to answer the questions which I'll put on the screen after the passage? But we're going to read the Bible passage now. So Galatians chapter 5, starting to read at verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Well, please give a big welcome to Pastor Dwight. Are you there, Pastor Dwight? I sure am. Fellow Americans, how blessed we are to live in the land of the free. Let us not be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let us reflect today on what true freedom means for us. Firstly, let us remember that ours is a land of opportunity. Let us remember that America is a place where we can all be what we choose to be. This is a place where we can forge our own destiny. So let us make sure to align our own identities with those of this great nation. Let us ensure that we live out what it means to be true Americans. For surely this will be the highway to peace and prosperity and a God's blessing. To begin with, let us stick to the ways we know well as true Americans. Let us remain true to the outward signs that we are God's people. Let us live respectable lives, especially on Sundays. Let us do the things which we know will impress God. Let us dress modestly. Let us give generously to church funds. Let us come to Sunday school. Let us keep our kids in check. Let us ensure we obey all the unwritten rules of our community. These are surely the things that truly count. Secondly, fellow Americans, how great it is that out on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners are able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. That our children live in a nation where they're not judged by the color of their skin, but by their character. That our land has been transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. But let us nevertheless remember that our primary calling is to be true Americans. I'm glad folk are free to go on marches, saying that Black lives matter as much as white lives, that poor lives matter as much as rich lives, that female lives matter as much as male lives. I'm glad people are free to think that Mexican lives matter as much as Texan lives, that Democrat lives matter as much as Republican lives, that lives of people who can't afford health care plans matter as much as those who can. It's fine that some people even think that the lives of those in prison matter as much as the lives of congressmen, or that unborn human lives matter as much as celebrity lives. I'm glad they're free to think that, but I'm also glad that as Americans, we're free not to. Because one thing's for sure, what matters most around here is you and me being free. Freedom means we can please ourselves. It means satisfying our own desires, living out our own dreams, fulfilling our own potentials. My mama always said that God helps those who help themselves. So let's help ourselves to as much as we can. We're free not to worry about the planet and all the mess we're creating, because one day we're all going to heaven so we can leave someone else to clear up this mess. Let us keep reminding ourselves that freedom means doing what we want with our money and time and energy and guns. Thirdly, let us not think that God has any higher role for us than being true Americans, that when he created Adam and Eve, he wanted them to do anything other than to eat steak and enjoy themselves. Let us not think that God has any greater plan for us than our own personal fulfillment. Let us not think that God has any greater plan for us than that. We're free, free to vote for a president who'll be good for us, who will put America first, who will set us free from having to subsidize the health care of others, who will set us free from having to look after immigrants and refugees from all sorts of terrible places, who will lower our taxes and protect us from competition from China, free to spend most of what we earn on ourselves, free to eat as much as we like, work as hard as we like, have sex with whoever we like, accumulate as much as we like, use as much gasoline and Botox and air conditioning as we like, free to worship our bodies, our celebrities, our baseball teams, and our politicians. Free, free at last. Let us not pay too close attention to those who tell us that looking after ourselves first has any connection with all the hatred and division in our land. Let us not tolerate those who tell us that our free way of living here has anything to do with the frightening rise of mental health problems, especially amongst the young. Let us avoid associating with those who say that our vision of freedom might not be all it's cracked up to be. Fourthly, brothers and sisters, in America, we are free to worship God just how we like. Ain't that neat? Free to focus on an image of God who looks just like us Americans. Free to look down on others who are less sophisticated than us. Free to mention God's name, but not really have to worry too much about him. Free to worship him one day a week, and on the other days to concentrate on our own desires and appetites and priorities. Fellow Americans, let us not get too carried away with spiritual matters, with examining our consciences and keeping short accounts with God. Let us avoid things which are scandalous or offensive. Let us not dwell on those things God has written which upset or challenge people. Let us not mention too much commitment and discipline, righteousness and judgment, heaven and hell. These are best not mentioned. Let us avoid those parts of the Bible. Most importantly, let us not talk further about the cross of Christ. We have a cross on our building, and some of us wear one round our necks, and that's more than enough. Let us not dwell too closely on the significance of the cross, on penitence and forgiveness, on our own unworthiness to stand before a holy God, except through Jesus Christ and his amazing grace. If Jesus commanded to take up our cross and follow him, such offensive talk can now be abolished, for we live in the land of the free, and so we only need to talk of what makes us feel good about ourselves. Let me also add that we have spent too much time lately looking at Galatians. We have spent too much time talking about the gospel, about grace and truth. We have spent too much time learning that freedom is something we only get when we surrender ourselves and come empty to the foot of the cross. Does that sound American? Freedom being something we receive as a free gift from God rather than something we grab for ourselves? Let us be careful not to allow our freedom to be defined by Jesus Christ, but by us and our American ways. Finally, fellow Americans, I am very concerned about the way the presidential election's turning out. Votes have been counted that should not have been counted, and votes have not been counted that should have been counted. Does nobody know any longer what really counts in our land? Some people seem to think that it's fairness or love or faithfulness that count. But that sounds to me like socialism. So mark my words, the thing that counts is protecting the American dream. Talking about love and humility and service is dangerous to our way of life. Such talk is disturbing. Such talk undermines our self-confidence. Such talk undermines our community values. Such talk makes us vulnerable. Such talk makes us wonder how free we really are in this great country of ours. Let us turn our back on all such talk. Now's the time to focus on ourselves and what we can do. It's time to make America strong again. It's time to make America proud again. It's time to make America free again. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America. Well, hopefully Pastor Dwight has given you something to discuss in your small groups and in your households this week. But before we start looking down our noses from people in a certain other country, let us just ponder for a moment, what would somebody from, say, Uganda, just to pick a country at random, have to say to us, the UK church, UK society? If somebody wanted to parody us, what kind of things would they say? And would they be very different to somebody trying to parody Americans? Let me just, as I draw to the close, let me just read again the passage that we had from Galatians chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of it, but let me just highlight some key verses, which will hopefully help us to see some of the flaws in Pastor Dwight's logic if we hadn't already spotted it. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. As we reflect on those words, and the perhaps not very helpful words from Pastor Dwight, how do we know that we are free? How would someone looking in on us, on our society, on our households, know that whether we are free or not? How would we know if we weren't really free, but we're enslaved to the things that we've just taken for granted? What did freedom look like for Jesus? Jesus is God. He had freedom to do anything he wanted. But what did he do? He gave up the glory of heaven. He took on the form and nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That was freedom. It might not be our contemporary view of freedom, which is mainly concerned with thinking about what's best for us. But that's the vision of freedom that Jesus holds out for us. And it's because of his free decision to do that for us, to die for us in our place, that he is able to buy for us freedom. Freedom to live for him, freedom from the temptations and the false gods which surround us. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray that you will help us to know how to find true freedom. We pray that you'll help us not to be deluded and conned by the false messages of freedom which are all around us, but tell us that the way to freedom is through individual choice, through our own identity, through doing the things that we just want to do for ourselves. Help us to hear the glorious message of the gospel that you have set us free, that you have set us free to be the people that you created us to be in the first place, free to worship and enjoy you forever. Forgive us, we pray, for the way that we have allowed ourselves to become enslaved, to become enslaved by what people think about us, by what we think about ourselves, by our reputation, by our bank balance, by our body image, by our views of politics, by our social media profile, by all the things that this world tells us are the things that really matter, when your word tells us that what truly matters is knowing you and being freed by your love to love others. So set us free, we pray, And thank you that you have made the means for us to be free. We thank you that in the bread and the wine that we have shared this morning, we have proclaimed that we, like those people in Exodus thousands of years ago who shared that those first Passover meals, that we have been set free from captivity. Set us free, we pray, in our day, free to worship and live for you now and for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final song is it's back to the